You're talking.
Mr. Moots, do you have an institutional representative that's going to sit next to you? You have that option?
No, I don't think so. Just kidding.
Good morning. It is 10:02 a.m. We are here today, May 8, 2014, in the OPA Hearing Room, Suite 907 of the DNA Building in Hagatnya, Guam, for the pre-hearing of OPA PA 14-02, Fukuda Enterprises, LLC, versus Guam Department of Education. Presiding over the hearing today is Hearing Officer Attorney Anthony Camacho. For the record, also present from the Office of Public Accountability are Audit Supervisor Franklin Cooper Nurse and Auditor in Charge Joy Bulato. Will appellant Fukuda Enterprises LLC please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Yeah, Jeffrey Moots from the law firm of Cunliffe & Cook.
Will purchasing agency, Guam Department of Education, please identify themselves and any institutional representatives present for the record?
Rebecca Perez, counsel for GDOE, and present with me is Carmen Titano, acting supply management administrator.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, I didn't quite catch the acting supply. Carmen?
Carmen Titano.
Carmen Titano. Well, this should be a fairly quick hearing. There was only one motion filed, and that was essentially a motion for expedited appeal, which was timely filed. And I believe it's also based on a previous request.
And we filed it under the motion just to ensure that it would be accepted as such.
And nevertheless, just for your edification, Mr. Moots, I know you're not the assigned attorney on the case from your office, but Mr. Cook filed his non-opposition, also timely filed, to that on May the 6th.
Right. We have no objection to that.
Okay. I believe under the rules, the appellant has about, 2 weeks to submit a response to the agency report. That's why this is a pre-hearing conference and not a status hearing. And I believe that would probably expire this Saturday or Monday, really.
Our comments, Mr. Cook has our comments due tomorrow, and that's what he, I think because it's Saturday, he's going to get them in tomorrow.
Okay. The reason this is a pre-hearing conference is that's also the day that comments are due are essentially also the deadline to request for a hearing. So you have, I guess, until tomorrow to actually request for a hearing. Do you know if you're going to do so? Or?
Yes, you'll be filing a request for a hearing.
Okay. So then the next step would be, well, of course, for the record, GDOE did not request for a hearing. Is that correct?
No, we did not put one in writing, but we... No objection. I mean, they're within the right to request one.
So. Yeah, no, they have a right to request a hearing, and pursuant to their due process right, we're going to schedule one. Then the next issue really is when can we hold the hearing? Now, at a minimum, we need at least 10 days, I believe, by statute to, or by our rules, essentially, to give notice of the actual hearing. And fortunately, I didn't bring my calendar.
There's actually also DOE's rebuttal, if they're going to file any rebuttal to the comments. They have a right to do that. So.
Yeah, but that would be essentially after. After that, clearly within 10 days, all those timelines would have passed. So if we schedule if we schedule a hearing at the earliest possible date, it would be shortly after their deadline to file their rebuttal comments would have expired. So, does anybody have a calendar? Sorry.
I'm looking at the one on my phone. So, 10 days from now would be the 18th, which is a Sunday, right? So, the first available day after 10 days from today would be the 19th.
Yeah, so we would be looking at May, of course, May the 19th.
Mr. Cook is available the 20th, the 21st, the 22nd, the afternoon, the whole day, the 23rd.
Let's shoot for the 20th, okay? And we would begin at 9 a.m. Of course, this is tentative. I also have to clear my schedule as well on that day and make sure that the public auditor who's currently off island is available on that day as well. But it'll be, if we're going to reschedule, it would be close to that day.
And I'm not sure about the dates that Attorney Moots was reading out on availability. I will be unavailable from the 23rd, and I understand that GDOE has in fact made this request, so I can have co-counsel appear, but for me, I would be unavailable between the 23rd of May and June 2nd, but I am available through the 20th, the 21st, and the 22nd as Attorney Cook would be. And I just want to point out as an administrative matter, we're trying to work, because we expected that the dates might be set quickly with our projected witnesses, to ensure their availability as well during that period. I imagine, I'm not sure if Attorney Moots can speak to it, but the two witnesses that we would expect would certainly be called would be Mark Pito and Paul Cepeda, who was mentioned in the pleadings. I'd imagine they would be interested in those two as well. So we will work to try to make sure that for whatever days we're scheduling that those people are available.
Okay, so we will schedule the, tentatively, set the hearing for May the 20th. I will set the ancillary dates related to that between now and then. And then I do have to ask the parties, have there been any efforts by the parties to formulate and simplify the issues?
Not as of yet. I think that might be a possibility, particularly once we get the response, any comments that Attorney Cook might have. It seems that we might, I think that there's a possibility we could reduce these to a couple of questions, and we'll work on that after this hearing.
Yeah, I'll leave Mr. Cook a note to make sure he looks into that.
Okay, and then I do have to inquire into the possibility of obtaining admissions of facts and any stipulations to the admission of documents that will avoid unnecessary proof.
I would submit the same answer.
Okay.
Yeah, and that's Mr. Cook will meet with Ms. Perez after he submits his answers.
Okay. Does the does either party have any need for me at this time to make any advance ruling regarding the authenticity of documents or the admissibility of any evidence?
Not from GDOE.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Now, at this point, Mr. Moots, I believe they've already filed and served their procurement record. Is there any issue with the completeness of the procurement record or anything you feel is missing, for example? Or do you feel you don't have a position at this time?
No, not that I'm aware of. And Mr. Cook is going to request a hearing, but he's also going to talk to the client about the possibility of submitting it on the filings that are already made. So just to let you know that that's always a possibility. I mean, we're not looking to drag this out if we can help it.
Okay, but essentially, if you request a hearing, we are going to hold one. I'm just going to, based on your representation, have a tentative...
And he understood that, but he wanted me to let you know that if that...
And, of course, at any time, if you submit your waiver of hearing, we will take that off the record.
Right.
Of course, because a hearing would be scheduled, I would require the same thing of DOE to essentially submit a waiver of hearing as well.
I believe that if that's the decision he comes to, he'll contact DOE and try to get a joint waiver of hearing just to confirm. So
and I'd also accept the stipulation that they both waive the hearing, take it off calendar, and basically decide the case based on the filed record.
Right. And if that's the case, we'll do that.
Can we talked a little bit about witnesses and documents. I'm also going to, of course, part of the schedule I'm going to create is a schedule for the filing and exchange of pretrial briefs, and of course witness lists, exhibit lists. If you work on a joint exhibit list, that's encouraged, but not necessary. Okay. I'm going to grant the motion to expedite, or DOE's motion to expedite the hearing. Hence, that's why we're scheduling the hearing at the earliest possible date. But I'm also going to advise the parties as well that generally this proceeding is an expedited proceeding under the statutes and the administrative rules. Now, are there any, do we need to go over any special procedures for managing potentially difficult or protracted actions, complex issues, multiple parties, or any unusual proof problems?
Not that I'm aware of.
For example, we don't need to set up a VTC for an off-island witness at all? Or
not that I'm aware of.
Okay. How long, Mr. Mutes, should we have this hearing? You think it will take you to present your case?
Probably, from the notes that Mr. Cook has, probably not more than, depending on the time schedule that you guys use, not more than one day, and probably maybe not even as much as half a day, but I'd say one day to be safe.
Okay. And Ms. Perez, how long do you think it would take DOE to present its...
Because the situations are contingent upon what I think will be established as a single set of facts, I can't imagine that the hearing in its entirety would take more than a day. I for my case, once there would... I truly expect that their witnesses, we will have the opportunity to elicit testimony across. So I think that we're going to be looking at most of the same witnesses. So I think a day would likely suffice, a day and a half on the outside.
Okay.
And the only reason I said a full day was you never know what happens.
Well, it's my experience that when we have witnesses...
right, you never know if everybody shows up.
It's probably more like a day and a half.
Yeah.
Or two. Okay, so about a day or day and a half. Are there any other matters we need to cover that may facilitate the just, speedy, and inexpensive disposition of this action?
I think the only thing is that once, and I will work with Attorney Cook to see if we do in fact intend to list the same witnesses, and if we can determine that, because it's the traveling season, I guess, if you will. If there's any information that comes to light that witnesses may not be available, we'll submit notice. I will submit a notice to the parties and to the OPA, just so that we can address that as quickly as possible.
Okay. And then finally, to both parties' knowledge at this time, are there any persons who will be attending the hearing that require any special accommodation, auxiliary aids, or services to attend or participate in the hearing?
Not that I'm aware of.
Not that we're aware of.
Okay. So... And then finally, I know that in your request to hold a hearing as quickly as possible and decide the case, you originally said June the 30th. And then I noticed in your motion, you said the absolute deadline now was June the 13th or 14th or somewhere around there?
Yeah, in the document that we filed originally on April 23rd, which was called the Notice of Funding Deadline and Request for Expedited Appeal, which was then attached to the motion. We just used the same. We did ask that the matter be set for expedited hearing such that a decision will be issued no later than June 13, 2014. That was to take into account the 14-day appeal period after the issuance of a decision, because by then, if 14 days would bring us to the end of June, we would know whether or not the matter had been finally decided at the OPA level or if there would be a pending court matter. So that was to take that into account. Okay. Oh yes, I'm sorry, I can see the line ahead of that that said should this matter not be finally decided by June 30th, that was with reference including the 14-day appeal period.
Okay, so it's your preference that we actually have a final decision
from the OPA
by about April the 13th or 14th, or June the 13th,
yeah, 14th. Around there.
Okay.
Because it, we're put in the situation where we can't, for example, notify our grantors that the matter is done, if you will, until after the appeal period expires.
Okay, but really, even then, be advised that I can't hold a hearing until these statutory and administrative regulatory deadlines have passed.
We understand.
Okay, because I have to give you 5 days to rebut, for example. I have to give them 2 weeks to submit their comments and request a hearing should they desire. Okay,
and
of course,
understand.
If they request a hearing, we have to hold the hearing, okay? On average, though, it does take the OPA, just so you know, about 30 days historically to issue a decision once the matter has, either the parties have waived their right to a hearing or we've actually had the hearing. Okay, so we are looking at a 30-day period, but we're going a little beyond your schedule, and the bottom line there is in my decision granting it, the OPA does have 30 days after the hearing to issue its decision, okay?
Mm-hmm.
But we will try.
We for the record, we thank you for noting it. We appreciate the efforts, particularly with having a pre-hearing at such an expedited date.
Okay. Are there any other issues I need to take up at this time?
Not that I'm aware of, sir.
Okay. If not, I will basically submit a order after this granting the motion to hold a hearing the earliest possible date and setting the scheduling order for the hearing, which is tentatively set for May the 20th at 9 a.m. Okay?
Thank you.
Sounds good. Thank you.
All right. It is 10:16. We are off the record. This hearing is concluded. Thank you.